Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm just trying to tell my story, not for fame or vain glory. Just trying to let you know what I've been through. Not seeking worldly treasures, but to rhyme or just be clever. Just thought I'd let you know what I've been through. Brought my twin brother along to help me write this song. So now I'll let you know what we've been through.
God is my help. He's my way out. He's my salvation. He's my everything. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I know that you want to join in with me. I know you got a praise on your mouth, in your tongue, in your heart, and it's just bursting to get out. And you're on fire just to tell somebody, God has been so good to me. God has been so, we have to get deep with that because we so have to last out. He's been so good to me. And I just want to tell somebody that God is your way. He's your source. He's your way out of that situation. He's your way out right now. He is your way out. So say it to, just say it out loud. I know it's going to seem strange to some people wherever you're at, but sometimes you have to remind yourself and tell yourself, God is my source. Don't be afraid to say, God is my source. I know it's not the right thing to say, politically correct thing to say, but when God has done what he does for us on a daily basis, you can't help but say, thank you, Jesus. You can't help but say, God is my source. No other help I know. God is my source. God is my source. He's my joy. He's my way out. We all got something to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And we're going to start tonight by being in prayer, prayer, prayer for our families, prayer for our countries, prayer for our loved ones, our churches. It's hard to be out here being in this world but not of this world. So many of us are we're living in this world and we're trying to live as Christians, but we have not our Christian warfare on, so we're walking around with carnal flesh, and we're saying that we're Christians, and it's hard and harder and harder, and we don't know what to do, and we start to break and bend and bow until we just decide that we're going to either move ourselves aside somewhere and huddle up in our own little world, or we're going to adjust to the world and become a part of this world that we are in, and we're looking for someone to catch us and snatch us back and pull us over to the side and shake us up, because we love the Lord in our hearts and we want to do the right things, but we need some encouragement, and we're looking around, and nobody is seeming to help us. And we see you going up and down the highways as you're going to church, and we see you as you sit beside us every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and you're sitting there, and you're looking good, and I'm looking good, and we know not that each other is so torn up inside, and we got all these things in our minds that we can't really receive what it is that God has bought to the place for us tonight. And so we get up and we pretend to be something that we're not, and we hug each other, and we say our little God bless yous, and we say our little I'm too blessed to be stressed, but inside of us, our insides are just turmoil, just turning over and over, and we're throwing pills down our mouth, trying to keep our mind together, hold it together, keep it together. You can do the smile on the outside, and you're crying on the inside. And we're pastors, and we're leaders, and we're teachers, and we're evangelists, and we're mothering somebody with this hardening of our heart, and it's passing down now, generations to generations to generations. And we're wives, and we're can't understand why our husbands are upset, are not in the marriage like he used to be. And we're wives, and we can't understand why we have let ourselves go, but he finds himself looking at something else. And we're husbands, and we don't take out time to be a father to the kids because we got so much other things going on. We're husbands, and we don't take out time to make sure that woman in your house know that she is the head of your life under your Christ Jesus, Lord, Savior. And so we find ourselves wrapped up, tied up, fussed up, and we don't know what to do. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for some family matters. And we're going to ask God to just forgive us for our sins. And we're going to ask God to watch over us. Oh, hallelujah, as we walk in these narrow ways, dear Father. Hallelujah, that we don't skip over to the wide road, but we stay on the narrow path and just follow your way of righteousness. Dear Father, because your word said that you would ease us. You said that your burdens is light, your yoke. It's easy, and we come to you with believing it, and we receiving it. So we start our prayer saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear Father, I thank you for today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed up on our lives that we don't even know about, dear Father. I thank you, dear Father, for every healing that you have placed in bodies today. I thank you for the health that you have always restored upon us right now. I thank you, Jesus, for just bringing back somebody's mind, giving them peace of mind, peace, dear Father, that they've looked for so long, dear Father. Peace that they've tried to buy, oh, dear Father, for so long. Oh, peace that somebody told them, come on inside and take a hit of this and get a second of peace. Oh, dear Father, but they can't find it. They can't find it. They're looking and they're searching in all different angles and all different ways, but somebody's been praying for them, dear Father. I thank you for those grandmothers. Thank you for those mothers and fathers. I thank you for those children that are praying for their parents. Oh, dear Father, I thank you for those grandmothers that are raising 6 and 7 children, dear Father, that are grandkids. Dear Father, when they should be relaxed and doing other things, but, dear Father, they don't know where the parents or the children are, and they can't just leave them, but they're there. Our families, we come praying, dear Father, and we lift each and every family up, dear Father, to you. We dedicate them right back to you, dear Father. Every thought that comes in their mind, we dedicate it to you. Every family, whatever it may look like today, that family unit, dear Father, divided, adopted, a result of rape, molestation, whatever it is, they're special to you. Hallelujah. We all have to get around our stumbling blocks, dear Father, to make it on our pathway, but we just thank you for always being there with us. Thank you for always leading us. Thank you for your light, for your righteousness pathway that leads us to you. We thank you, dear Father, that we're not in darkness, dear Father. I thank you that the word of your mouth that comes from your heart that you put with us, to place with us, in the Holy Spirit, dear Father, that dwells inside of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that that light outlights any darkness in our lives, regardless of what name that darkness has claimed tonight. Your light outlights any darkness. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. I thank you, Jesus, for all of the ones that has received their breakthrough but haven't turned around to say thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for all of the ones that you have lifted up in positions to edify the kingdom, but they're edifying their families. They're edifying their foe and no more. They're edifying their own personal gain. They're edifying their own selves. Dear Father, that they're turning their nose. They're turning their backs on the saints, on the children, on the word. And now they're standing behind pulpits and altars, and they're saying what thus said them instead of thus said the Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that your eye is always on those sparrows, each and every one of us. I thank you, Jesus, that you're going to come. You're going to return with our rewards with you, Jesus. I don't have to wait on man to give me a reward, but you have my reward with you. But I thank you for all of those who won't take out time to say thank you. I thank you for them right now, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to be in all situations. Dear Father, you know situations that is going on. Oh, dear Father, I ask you to move everything out of the way. I see conquering. I see the word conquering. Dear Father, I know you know what's going on. I know you know the ending way before the beginning. So we just rest and let you rule in these situations. Oh, my son, stand strong and keep on pushing on. My sister, stand strong. Keep on pushing on. Keep on praying. Keep on listening for the Lord, listening for his word. Put yourself in a position so you can be in prayer. Don't get so busy wrapped up in life that you forget to pray. Don't get so busy wrapped up in what's going on around you that you forget that God is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He has your answers. He is your source. He is your answer. Oh, give him glory. He's all that you need. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for my daughter, LaMeka. I thank you for her daughter, Tatiana. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for my son, JD. Oh, and I thank you for his family, his lovely kids, Nathaniel, Janelle, and James. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my mother, Miss Annie Pearl Harwell. I thank you for my brothers, T. Thank you for DeConcelin and Reggie. I thank you, dear Father, for their lives. Thank you for their families. Thank you, Lord, for my sisters, Dee and Barbara. I love you all. God bless you. I thank you, dear Father, for just all of my friends and family. I thank you for my pastor, Dr. LaSalle Brooks, Dr. LaSalle Vaughn and Portia Brooks Vaughn. I thank you for their families. I thank you for the word that you put in them. I thank you, dear Father. I thank you for my ministry. I thank you for blessing us all. And we lay all of this at the altar as we raise it up to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Psalms 11:3 states that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It said, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation of your home is destroyed, what can you do? Family is the greatest foundational institution on the earth. And I know if you look around, you may not see that as being publicized right now, but I come to remind you that families, look around at your family. If they're not there, you got a picture. If their picture's not visibly there, put the picture in your mind. Look at your families. Families, near and far, families. It's the greatest foundational institution on this earth. In 2 Timothy 3:1 and 3, Paul writes to us, and he reminds us, he said, but know this, that in the last days, period times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Anybody know any of those situations? Of any of those situations, I bet you that most of us know and can experience those things on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Paul said in the last days that it's going to be perilous times. We're in those last days. No man knows the day, the time, or the hour, because when he's coming back, but we do know and we have hope and joy knowing that he will return. He's coming back. He's coming back. I may go home before he gets back here, but he's coming back. Hallelujah. Again, those things are all around us. And one of my daily prayers is, Lord, save the family. Lord, save the family from men who are lovers of themselves. Lord, save the families from people who are just lovers of money. Lord, save the family from boasters and those that are too proud to do the things that you asking them to do. Lord, save the family from those who blasphemers, who don't even take it in consideration. Blasphemy is just something that they do or say now. Lord, save the family, my prayers, from those who are disobedient to their parents. From parents who are disobedient to their children. Lord, save the family from an unthankful heart. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for saving the families from just being straight unholy. Unholy. No one is trying to even teach any generations about holiness again. But they want you to know of all of the latest entertainers, all of the things that are in the world that is going on. And it's important that we start our kids out young and they start teaching them how to do this and how to do that that the world is doing right now. Let me teach you how to sing this song that's the most popular. Let me teach you how this person looks. This is who you should worship. But nobody is trying to teach our families about holiness. God, save the family. Save the family from unforgiveness. How many are dead and gone and still dying today for unforgiveness? How many are holding things in their heart and it's just eating you up inside? You can't do the things that you're here to do because you're so stuck and glued with your feet turned backwards, looking in your past at what happened then instead of looking ahead of you at what's going to happen now. Because you say that you believe, but you don't believe that all of those things that were in your past work together for the good of the things that God has prepared for your future. But you're stuck in your past and you're refusing to believe and you're still just holding on to it, glued on to it. And the ones that did you wrong are on their way. They passed you up. And I come to remind you, while you're stuck looking behind you, they're no longer there. They're way ahead of you now, sister, my brother. They're no longer back there. That's why you can't see them. That's why you get angry all over again because it doesn't seem to bother them because they're not there anymore. They're over that, whether you are or not. They're over that. So that unforgiveness rests, rules, and abides with you. That unforgiveness, that's why you're having those headaches that no one can get rid of. That's why all these new things are popping up around you that the doctors can't even figure out what's going on with you. It's that unforgiveness. That unforgiveness. I pray for you tonight, my sister. I pray for you tonight, my brother. I pray for you tonight. The mother that's trying to be a mother, but you're so stuck in something that's back in your childhood that's got you so bogged down that you can't forgive. You're waiting on someone to come to you and beg you for forgiveness. I urge you to step forth right now. You get somewhere in a room by yourself. You cry that thing out. You talk it out. And you decide that you're going to forgive. Whether no one else ever asks you for that forgiveness, you forgive your ones that did hurt to you. And allow God to now set you on that rock of a foundation to show you the beauty that he sees in you, that he can show you the purpose of your life. God, I ask you to forgive and continue to bless the slanderous. Lord, save the family from the slanderous. Save the family from those that is without any type of self-control. Save the family from all the brutal, insulting things that we see on a daily basis. Save the families, dear Father. Save the families from those that stand for wrong, stand for bad, stand for the opposite of your word, that is fighting against anything that is good. They're raising banners. They're getting political power. It looks like that they're winning, but thank God we know the end of the story. Victory is yours. Victory is yours. And we need to save our families. We need to bring our families to God. Dedicate them back to the Lord. I don't care how old the members are in your family. Each and every day, dedicate yourself back to the Lord. God, in this day, I dedicate myself back to you. If you gave me breath in my body to get up and move around, I want to give it back to you. Hallelujah. Whatever I say today, dear Father, I want it to be blessed by you. I want to keep it on my mind that God is with me. He is within me. He surrounds me. This is his day. And he's allowing me to be a part in it. And I have dedicated it back. I armored myself and I'm ready. Hallelujah. God save the family. God save the family. It's our prayer. It's one of the most sincere prayers that I have ever prayed. Many pastors and church leaders are torn apart because they haven't prioritized the fact that family matters above all else. The pastor is God, spouse, children, and then ministry or your church. The proper order is God, your spouse, your children, and then the ministry or your church. It's a family unit. Any diversion of that order is against the order of God. We cannot allow our families to be torn apart. We cannot afford to continue to let our families be torn apart. So now the world is even using us. They're using the shows. They've even got a shows now about the different things for trying to just look into our lives. Don't ever think that the spotlight is not on us. The world is watching us. What are you doing? What are you doing? If you're doing something that you think is in private, you think is secret, the world is watching you. The world is watching us. The spotlight is on us. God bless our families. We can't get out of order with God. We've got to stay in order with God. What happens to the family? Just when you used to pray, family prayer, family meals, family activities. What has happened? What comes more important than those things are now? Most of us allow the summer to pass without even attempting to make a family prayer day, to make a family vacation or a family reunion. When is the last time you got your family together and said, we're just going to all meet somewhere and just reunion together? We're just going to vacation together. It don't have to be an expensive thing. It doesn't have to be some going to Paris every year. You do want that, but do that sometimes. It doesn't always have to be that. Whatever happened to just getting together for Sunday meals? Even attempt to just have a day that you can just sit under the tree and talk. Yeah, I know people don't sit outside any longer. Society says families, it's a thing of the past. But that's not so in the kingdom. That is not so in the kingdom. Family is utmost of importance. I don't know. Somebody said, yes, they do. Minister Vaughn, people do sit outside again. Really? Here in the city, you don't hardly see people sitting outside. You just don't. And what a great thing. I grew up sitting outside. But you don't see kids playing outside too much either. That was the thing that we just did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the outdoors. We got to enjoy those things, but not this day and time. It's just not something that you typically would see. You don't see families together walking through the park together. Hallelujah. One of the curses of this generation is it's just too much talk and not enough communication. We talk or listen to our gadgets, and we let the gadgets do the talking to us. Often we talk to everyone else except our family members. We always got somebody else on the cell phone, somebody else on the iPod, somebody else we're listening to, talking to, except our families. We talk to everyone else except our family. How many times have you walked into your home, the airport or other places, and you've been on the phone? And you kind of throw your hand up at your family because you're on the phone. you're at the airport and you're sitting there and you're the person sitting right beside you, but you can't even share the word or you can't even speak and say hello. I'm not saying you got to get up and you got to go talk to everybody, but it's an opportunity for you to meet somebody else. But do we get so wrapped up in our gadgets that we can't even raise our head up or lift our heads up? Although you may be around your family, how much real communication do you engage in, listening and carefully responding? I talk to people all the time, and they say, well, evangelist, at least I'm home. At least I am here. At least I'm not out in the street somewhere. At least I'm right there with my family. Yeah, but although you are surrounded around your family, are you really there? Are you really there? Are you responding? Are you listening to your family? Hallelujah. Are you really there? Statistically wise, it is shown that some of our observations about today's family shows that nearly half of our children are being raised in broken homes. And most children spend an average of 30 seconds in meaningful relationships with their parents each day. We need to take our time and pray for our families. 30 seconds? Are we serious? Each day? 30 seconds. We pick them up at school, and sometimes I just observe, as the students are getting in their cars, do they even look at the parents? Do the parents even look at them? Are they on their way? God bless the families. God save our families. We're going to take a night that we're just going to have you call in and just pray for the families. If you want to pray for your family, I just want you to just call in and we're just going to pray for our families. We're still working on our dates. Look like we have it for this Friday, but we're going to have to look at that. We're going to do an extended time that we can just open it up just for prayer for our families. And I invite you to call in and pray for your family. I would love to pray with you for your family. We must never, ever take it for granted who we have beside us. Because today they're here, they can be gone tomorrow. We place our children in daycare centers where they learn different social skills amongst their peers under the law of the jungle, while employees who have no invested interest in them, it's just a paycheck for some of them. They look on just to make sure that no blood is spilled. Whatever else happens, it happens. Some of the horror stories in some of our child care centers. And I understand we're in two-parent homes now. Our one parent doing all the work, and the parents need to work. I understand that. The grandparents right now are still working themselves. I'm a grandparent. I still work. But God has blessed it in a situation that not only do I work about 14 to 16 hours a day, I'm still a full-time student, still going back trying to get that master's in psychology. And then, you know, I do the ministry. And then I also watch over my teenager granddaughter. Make sure she's back and forth from school. God will provide. If he gives you 24 hours in a day, I promise you, he will take care of it all. Now, he's blessed me, like I said. I am able to do all that stuff because he's allowed me now that to work from home. I do it all from home. I work from home. I do school from home. So I can jump out and go get her, do what I need to do in the neighborhood for the family, deliver my sermon to the people who need to for the ministry. But however God has it worked out for you, it may not be the way that he has done it for me, but he will make sure that he puts you where you need to be to bless your family, to be there for your family. And I know that you're working, and you've got to provide. But, you know, the kids need you more than some of these gadgets that we're giving them. They need you. The kids are looking for love. You know, we've got to the point now that the economy has not just, you know, shrunk our wallets. the economy has shrunk our families. Have you taken a look at that? We have actually sterilized and contracepted our families down to sizes so small that the children that we do have, they're so spoiled with materialistic things that they equate love with the receipt of a gift. That means that you love them. And if you, the moment that you refuse them of those things, they say, well, you don't love me anymore. We've got to stop as parents. And I know I minister to young parents a lot. But even some of those 15, 16-year-old parents are trying, knowing that they want something better for their young people. And a lot of times in these situations, they have nobody. All the older people that's in their families pretend that they never have made any mistakes. And I know you're hurt that this child has had a baby like that at such a young age. I know you had higher hopes, but we still can't leave them out there. We can't just throw them out there. We've got to have somebody out there for them. They're wanting to do better. They don't want this to block them. They want their child to still be able to be prosperous and to go through life and not have to suffer just because of their mistakes. And we've got to get to the point that we're going to still pray regardless. Unconditional love. We're going to still be there praying for our families. I invite you, take out some time. Call me. Let's talk about it. Reach back out to that loved one that you've turned your back against. Come on. It's okay to bring a Bible into your home. You say, well, what is the family going to think? I'm the one who brings the alcohol into the house. Where do I even get a Bible at? You can get a Bible by emailing me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. If you email me, I will make sure that I get a Bible your way. You can call me anytime, day or night. I will pick up the phone, I will answer, and we can pray about this thing. You can reach me at 210-253-9093. If I don't answer, I will get back with you. But just know, God is looking out for you. Just give it over to him. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. That may not mean much to you to know that I'm here for you, that God has somebody here for you. Perhaps you prefer that your kids get involved in video games or movies or they get out of the house or whatever instead of taking up your time. Perhaps you said, but that's going to mess with my me time. I work all day. When is the last time that you just took out some time and said, we're just going to bowl together? We're just going to, you know, we're going to go to the park together. We're going to go do something in the living room. Just sit in a place that just you're all there. Pop some popcorn. Pull out an old family picture or pop something in the DVR or something. Something that when the kids were small, something that's going to bring back memories. Just turn off everything and sit there and reminisce and start talking about the experience that when they were born and when you first found out that you two were pregnant and how you just experienced that. It's just a joy. I don't care. My kids are older, but, you know, me and their dad was just talking last night about some of the things about when they was very small and just, it's just reminiscing things. It's just a great thing. And just to let them hear that, to pass on to their kids and just to know that they're loved. It's not about what I can give you. My love comes from inside of me. My love comes from not just the materialistic things, but I express it to you in so many ways, and it has nothing to do with my wallet. Hallelujah, unless it's time to feed you. You know, I keep the roof over your head. So I invite you to pray for your families. We're going to continue, and I give you more information about calling in and praying for your family. I think I'm even going to open up my conference line, and I give you that free conference number where you can just call in and we can just talk about it. And we're just going to invite some other ministers and teachers and leaders and just you and you and you and anybody who just want to come and pray for their families. And we're just going to continue to do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for being you. We thank you for blessing us and leading us and guiding us. Thank you for allowing your word to penetrate in our hearts and our minds, our spirits, and our soul. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to tell you about the greatest friend that you ever, ever have. I invite you to come and give your heart to Jesus and just repeat after me. I come as a broken vessel, believing in you, O God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess my sins with my mouth. Dear Father, I believe that you are the one and only God who gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Come live inside of me. Change me. Renew me. Strengthen me. Teach me how to be a blessing to my family. Teach me how to bless those all around me. Dear Father, I'm so excited to be a part of your kingdom. Show me who you are. Show me what you see in me when you look at me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, oh, hallelujah, God bless you. The Bible says you are a new creature in Christ now. Old things are passed away. Nothing about you is the same. It may look the same. You may still say the same things, but you keep watching, keep praying. God is going to change you inside to out. Everybody's going to look at you and see a difference. You get overjoyed. Again, you can reach me, Evangelist Von Dimas, at Walk With Me God. At AOL.com. You can call me 210-253-9093. I'll be more than happy to get a Bible out to you, to get any kind of material out to you that you need. Remember, you're not in this thing alone. There is nothing that you can go through that God doesn't understand.